In John chapter 20 this morning, if you have your Bibles and you want to read along, starting in verse 19, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas called. He said, one of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side and stop doubting and believe." Heavenly Father, help us receive your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, Resurrection Sunday is a glorious day to remember as we celebrate the resurrected Christ. But what about Monday after? What happens in the hearts of disciples once the shouts of the risen Savior fade into the quiet reality of daily life? What about then? You know, the week after the resurrection was not business as usual. It was a week of transformation, of confirmation, and of a mission given. And it was a week when fear was met with peace. Doubt was overcome by truth, and lives were forever changed by the risen Lord. And today we're all invited to go. We're all invited to believe in the risen Lord, to step out of fear and into faith, and not just for a moment, but for our lifetime. Not just on Sunday, right? Today, we're going to move this morning, and I hope you do. We're going to move from fear to peace. I hope you leave here with peace in your heart. Verse 19 tells us that the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. I think many times we're afraid to share the gospel of Jesus because we might get not what we expect from somebody. The Greek word, when you look at the translations of afraid, it translates they were paralyzed by fear. They were terrified that the Romans were going to kill them too. Then suddenly Jesus was standing there among them, and what does he say? He says, "Peace be with you." Isn't that a beautiful thing? How many of us want peace in our life? How would you just like to have a moment or a day of just peace? Just complete calm and peace. No worries. Just peace. There's only one that can offer that truly, and that's Jesus. You'll never find it in this world. Only through Jesus can you find peace in your heart. Peace doesn't come from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of Christ. Amen. It's not a casual greeting when you think about what he said. It's shalom. It's a divine peace that restores wholeness, dispels anxieties, and proclaims reconciliation with God. That's what that means. Peace be with you. Shalom. The word gives peace through distraction. That's what this world does. But Jesus gives peace through his resurrection. His scar still bears witness that he has conquered sin and death. And my question for you this morning, are you behind locked doors in your heart today? And maybe fear and doubt and failure has kept you hidden. But Jesus steps into your room, and uninvited sometimes, but welcome, and he speaks peace. And I can ask you this morning, will you receive it? I can't tell you how many times I've sit in a pew or sit in a chair and I've heard the message or the word spoken and I've felt Jesus appear next to me. And yet because I was afraid, I rejected Jesus and didn't receive him into my life. I didn't take on the peace that he so much wants to give. Today, I want us to move from a doubt, from doubt to faith. Thomas, often labeled as doubting Thomas, we read many times or hear, wasn't present at the first appearance. And he says in verse 25, I won't believe it unless I see it. I won't believe it. And so many times we're just like that. I won't believe it until I see it. Or just, I won't believe it unless. There's a lot of unless in this world, isn't there? There's a lot of unless in me. I was like that. Thomas wanted proof, but 8 days later, Jesus returns and meets Thomas in his doubt. And he says, put your fingers here and don't be faithless any longer. Just believe in me. You know, that's all Jesus asks of us. He just wants our faith. He wants you to just believe. That Greek word, in that word belief in the Greek, meaning to entrust one's entire self. I like that. Entrust one's entire self, not just part. We believe in sanctification, but we believe entire sanctification. We believe that there, when Paul said to the church, he said, I pray that you are sanctified through and through, meaning entirely, completely. I don't want you to have just part of Jesus in your life. I want you to have all of Jesus in your life. I want you to serve him through and through. Your life is surrendered to Jesus. It's not just a mental agreement. It's a heart surrender. It's not a physical transformation. It's a spiritual transformation. And Thomas responds with one of the strongest declarations of Jesus' divinity in all the scripture. He says this, my Lord and my God. He recognizes him truly for who he is. I read a book and I remembered this quote, and it's by Tim Keller, and it says, faith is not absence of doubt, but the presence of trust in the minds of it, in the midst of it. Isn't that a wonderful saying? The presence of Jesus changes everything, and Jesus doesn't condemn. He doesn't condemn Thomas. He invites him in. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to set things right. I came to offer love and hope and peace. That's why I came. Jesus meets you where you are, not he comes right where you are at. He appeared right there. Can you imagine if that happened here? If all of a sudden there's Jesus, it's like the little kids looking for Jesus. I bet you when you came in, you know, did anybody see Jesus when you came in? Did you see the little Jesus? Did you notice the one above the door? You did? He's hard to miss sometimes, isn't he? Or easy to miss, I would say. But Jesus is everywhere, isn't he? He's in the hearts of those who trust and believe in him. Jesus meets you where you're at, and, And I would ask you today, are you doubting today? There's a questioning God's presence, his power, his plan. You ever do that? You know, the resurrected Jesus invites you to examine his wounds and trust in his love. This morning, I would hope that we're moving from a confusion to a commission as well. Sometimes we don't understand who Jesus is. We don't understand what all this is. And even Paul himself later on, even though Paul knew probably as much as anyone he said, I haven't attained it all. There's a lot of mysteries in the Bible. He even wrote once, he said, it's a mystery. I tell you a mystery. He said, we all see through this dark glass and there's a lot of things that we don't understand. But let me tell you, by faith, one of these days, our eyes will be opened and we'll understand it all. But until that time, I'm just going to keep going. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Don't stop believing. That's a good song, by the way. Maybe a little different meanings, but almost started singing it. It just popped in my head when I... But Jesus doesn't just stop when he gives you peace. He also gives you a commission. And just like when the little kids was up here, I said, you go find Jesus and you show me that you found Jesus. And now that you found Jesus, now you go and tell everyone. You go tell everyone that you found Jesus. You go show everybody Jesus. And that's what we're commissioned to do, is to show everyone Jesus. How do we do that? Jesus lives within us. He transforms us and molds us and makes us into unique individuals. We all are different. There's not one of us the same. We have different fingerprints, different eye, I mean, all kinds of differences that we have, but yet we have the same Jesus living within us, and he takes those quirky personalities that some of us has and he uses them to share with the world. As the Father has sent me, so I am also sending you, he says. This is a mission. This is a missional moment in the scripture. And the disciples, once paralyzed in fear, now become apostles. And the word apostle means the sent ones. The Greek meaning to send out with authority. He then breathed on them and a deliberate echo when you think about this. It reminds me of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God breathed life when he made man. Think about that. Jesus now breathing life and power and strength into the apostles who were once in fear and in doubt. Now, are living in the power of Jesus Christ. He breathed on them. And the disciples, not just given a mission, they're spiritually empowered. Amen? Think about that. If you're a believer in Christ, Jesus wants to empower you to do his work. You were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. Hear me? Rick Warren said that. Such a powerful statement. How many of you feel this morning that life doesn't make sense? Many of us have had moments like that. But you were made by God and for God. And when we understand that, we understand that life does make sense. Jesus gives us new purpose and new breath and a new life. And he sends us out not in fear, but in faith. Hear me this morning? How many of you struggle with fear in your life. We fear about everything. We're afraid of tomorrow. We're afraid what might happen. We're afraid to, you know, we wear seatbelts because we're afraid. We're always afraid of something. And it's because this world produces fear. I'm not saying wearing a seatbelt's bad. It's the law, right? Yeah. I grew up, we didn't wear seatbelts. I'm still here. I had mom for a seatbelt. Wow. Right? Standing up in the cab of a pickup truck going down the road, somebody pulls out and stops short. Knock the breath out of you, and you're like, what was that for? Can't even breathe laying in the floorboard of the truck, you know? Well, I didn't want you to get hurt. I got a broken rib, but I'll be all right, Mom. You guys know that by experience, don't you? Yeah. Let me tell you, we're not saved to sit. All right? We're not saved to sit. You're saved to serve. Jesus said, I came to serve, not just to sit around and tell people what to do. Jesus taught them what to do. He led them through this world and showed them what to do. And then when he left, he said, now you go and do what I taught you and teach everyone else to do the same. The resurrection is not the end of the gospel. It is the launch pad of your mission. And I didn't use our mission in that because it's not just our mission, it's your mission too, as a believer. It's not just the pastor's commission, it's every layman, every born-again believer in Jesus Christ's commission to go and share the gospel with everyone that you meet.
Amen.
Don't stop believing. So I would ask you this morning, will you go where he sends you? How many of you have felt that the Holy Spirit told you to do something and you're like, man, I really feel like I need to go do this? You ever felt that? How many responded and how many times did you say, no, I don't think I can do that? And I'm guilty. There's been many times where I've not. But I've moved from a place of not to a place of doing. And it's a much better place. I find peace there. The resurrection is historically verified, not emotionally imagined. 1 Corinthians 15, 5 and 7 says, he was seen by Peter and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. I like that. Another quote from Tim Keller, he says this, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't, then why worry about anything that he said? Man. I think about if you don't believe in Jesus and you don't respect who he is, then the purpose of the church, the purpose of coming to church has no meaning whatsoever. It's meaningless. The resurrection validates Jesus' identity message, and it demands a response from each and every one of us. There's a story I read about the doubt of a rescued man, a man rescued from a collapsed building after an earthquake, and he kept asking his rescuers, am I really out? Am I truly free? Am I out? Though saved, he couldn't believe it the first time until he felt the sunlight on his skin. shining in his face. And that's what the resurrection does. It shines the light of truth unto the fear. And it says, you're free and alive. It's like the song that we sang, Death Was Arrested. We're free. Free forever. Amen. There's no fear in this life. And now we move from wandering, I hope this morning, from wandering to worship. Matthew 28, 8 and 10 says this, the women ran quickly from the tomb and they were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples and the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him and grasped his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. You know, in the week after the resurrection, Jesus wasn't just appearing. He was meeting and calling and transforming people's lives. And let me tell you, he hasn't stopped doing that today. People's lives are being changed around us. And I think about these faithful women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, were the first witnesses to the risen Christ, and their immediate response was to worship him. Immediately. You know, this morning I couldn't sleep this morning, so you know, I'm up at before 5 o'clock and I'm wandering around and tossing and turning, you know, and so my mind's going 100 miles an hour because I'm thinking about today and I'm thinking about what it means and I'm thinking about how excited I was to get here this morning. Not that Jesus is any more here than he was at home with me, is what I'm trying to say. But this is a place that we all come together to celebrate and worship Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. And it's an exciting time. It's an exciting thing to do because he is our Savior. And he is alive. They fell at his feet, and not as the teacher, but as the living Son of God now. They didn't question. They didn't demand proof. They just believed. Their fear gave way to faith, and their sorrow was replaced with joy. Jesus, what does he say? He doesn't say, why didn't you believe sooner? He doesn't say that. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I like the Greek word or the translation for worshiped, meaning to bow in reverence, to kiss the ground in honor, to bow down before Jesus. This was a full-bodied surrender. And we see this as they would lay prostrate when they would worship him. Some of our Muslim friends do the same thing. Our Jewish friends do the same thing. When they pray, it's not just standing and praying. They're laid out prostrate in front when they pray. It's fully surrendered prayer. A full body surrender, not just part. We don't serve Jesus with just part of our heart or part of our life. Some people do. Jesus is a part of their life. But I'd like you to understand that Jesus wants to be all of your life. Worship is the natural reaction to the resurrection. And you don't really understand Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And when we encounter the risen Christ, and worship becomes more than just singing. It's not just singing when we think worship. Worship is everything that we do in our life. It is our life poured out for him. It's a heart surrendered and a soul reoriented, renewed, transformed. And I know that some of you probably feel like you've been wandering around in circles most of your life, not having any purpose or not knowing what to do. But let me tell you, just like them, life after the cross seemed uncertain. Whenever Christ died, they felt like they were abandoned. They felt rejected. They were in fear and they didn't know what to do. They were scattered and afraid. And then Jesus appears, as Jesus does. And then he brings clarity, and he brings understanding, and he brings peace, and he pours it out, and he breathes on us. And when you fall at his feet, he lifts your eyes to purpose. Now, when's the last time you knelt and prayed? When's the last time, not just standing in a church service, listening to somebody close with a prayer or saying a little prayer. I'm talking about when was the last time you really knelt and prayed out to God? Let the resurrection drive you not just in awe, but to adoration. Jesus, our true King, has returned from the grave, and he is no longer the suffering servant on the cross. He is now the risen and reigning King of our hearts. And should we not fall at his feet and worship him? Should we not fall and worship him? Let me speak to you again this morning as I close. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, lived this perfect life, and he died on a Roman cross, bearing the full weight of our sins, yours and mine, and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. Amen? And not as a symbol, not as a symbol, not as a myth, but as a conquering king. Hear me? Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Hear it. You don't need a religion. You need a resurrected life. So I would say, repent and turn, believe and trust in our risen Savior today. And if you believe, and I would say, go and live like it. Okay? Amen. Go and forgive as you have been forgiven. Go and serve as Christ has served you. And go and proclaim the one who was dead and is now alive forevermore. And if you've not believed today, I would ask you today, don't leave this place. Don't wait for proof. Just Jesus already gave his life for you. And this invitation that I'm given is don't be like Thomas this morning, waiting to believe until it all makes sense. Because let me tell you, you'll be waiting for the rest of your life. And let today be the day your faith moves from doubt to declaration that he is my Lord and my God, and he is my Savior and my King. Amen. So right now, I'm asking you right now to turn from your sin and place your trust in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ, and he will forgive and restore you and give you the peace in your heart that you may have been searching for. Let me tell you, a church, this church, any church that believes and lives the resurrected life is a church that the week after, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, lives in the power and the peace and the love of Jesus Christ every day. Amen? Because you've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you follow him every day of the week, not just on Sunday, or you just don't follow somebody else to church, right? Amen. He appears to us through his word. And I hope that you're reading and studying the word, and he sends his spirit to dwell within all of us. And he intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. And he promises to return for us in glory. You don't need to see his scars to believe, do you? His spirit testifies with your spirit that he is alive. I have said this many times. No one has to tell you that you did something wrong, because inside your spirit tells you that you're wrong. Jesus didn't bring condemnation, and I'm not here this morning to condemn you. I'm here to tell you to listen to the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you, that's telling you of the things that you've done wrong in your life that you need to repent of and turn back to him. Hear me. The resurrection wasn't the end of Jesus' work, and it was the beginning of ours. In John chapter 20 and 21, he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Hear it. Some of you are looking like the little kids did a while ago, like, what? It's not just for pastors. It's not just for missionaries. That's for every believer who has seen the risen Lord by faith. So I would say, go and believe, go and live, and go and tell everyone that you meet. And you can carry that resurrection power. You can carry the gospel of truth, and you can carry the eternal hope. Amen. Amen. Hear me this morning. May your hearts burn with passion. May your hearts burn with passion for the Lord, for the risen Lord and Savior. May your faith rise like Thomas's declaration when he said, "My Lord and my Savior." And may your worship be as sincere as the women who fell at his feet and worshiped him. And may the risen Christ, your Savior and King, walk with you and guide you and send you into the world with fearless love, unshakable hope, and unstoppable faith. Go this morning in peace, but before you go, I want you to listen to this song. And I hope that your hearts are stirred today. I hope that you leave here better than you came, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to honor him today. Lord, I thank you. Lord, be with this group of people as they leave here today. Just glorify you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.